First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. Presented by Progressive Insurance, we start you off, as we always do, with the headlines that you need to know. Got some positivity in the headlines, as we are going to be positive that we're getting some soccer. The Premier League is set to resume on June 17th. I just feel smarter every time I say that. After the clubs gave, quote, Project Restart the green light at its shareholders meeting on Thursday. So sources have told ESPN that Manchester City versus Arsenal and Aston Villa at home to Sheffield United will be the first fixtures, taking all teams to 29 matches played. I'll admit I'm reading that directly off the screen because there's no way I could have said it that eloquently or properly if I tried to do it myself. So there'll be 90 games at that point that will continue from the following weekend, with a likely match to be moved for television on Friday, June 19th, preceding a full program. So the aim is to complete all league fixtures by August 1st. After that date, the FA Cup can be completed and they can move forward. So a little bit of a moment there as we at least get some positive move, positive news moving forward in the coronavirus era. Not so positive for Major League Baseball. Agent Scott Boras tells his clients not to, quote, bail out baseball owners. So Scott Boras recommended that his clients refuse Major League Baseball's attempt to cut salaries during negotiations with the Players Association, claiming team financial issues caused by the pandemic have their origin in management debt financing. So there was an email that was obtained by the Associated Press. Boras wrote the players should not alter terms of the March 26 agreement between MLB and the union that called for players to reduce their salaries to a prorated rate based on the shortened season. MLB on Tuesday proposed a series of tiered reductions that would cause top stars to receive the biggest cuts. The quote, remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated. So yet again, the conversation becomes about money between the owners and, of course, the players, and trying to figure out what it means moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, University of Minnesota has made a statement moving forward. They've decided to limit ties with Minneapolis police as a result of the death of George Floyd. 2 days after the death of Floyd in Minnesota, that was caused, obviously, by police in a video that the entire world has been drawn to over the course of the last 48 hours, school president for University of Minnesota made the announcement Wednesday that was sent to students, faculty, and staff members, writing that the university no longer will use local officers to assist at major events that would include Golden Gophers football games. So it's a big statement there being made by the University of Minnesota. Those are the headlines that you need right now on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys can tweet me at Jason Fitz, or you can get in on the conversation on the phones. We're asking you, what player, 25 or under, would you build your NBA franchise around? All of this comes because we've been going through primetime players, and in the process of going through primetime players, for anyone that missed it last hour, number two was Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that led the guys to having a debate about if Giannis was the person you'd build your team around. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Clifford in Dayton. Clifford, what do you got? How are you building your franchise?
I would build it around Ben Simmons, but I wouldn't have like an Embiid clogging up the middle. I would have shooters all around him, and it would be a beautiful thing. Thank you.
It's an interesting concept that you're going to build around Ben Simmons. Not a lot of love comes towards Simmons, and I think we forget in the process how young he is. We forget in the process of talking about the process, no pun intended, about how young both Embiid and Simmons are, and I think that's part of why Philly fans get so frustrated, is that we're looking at these young stars and saying, hey, there could be a generation of stardom there. So that's an interesting one. Donovan in Virginia Beach. Donovan, what do you got? Who are you building your NBA franchise around?
D'Angelo Russell, because D'Angelo Russell can give me 20 and 10. And those 10 assists could be from any all-star on the wing or on the block. Imagine the Nets if they would have kept D'Angelo Russell alongside with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. All you got to do is put Kyrie at the two and let D'Angelo Russell take over, man. And that's all I got, man.
Yeah, I don't think we give D'Angelo Russell nearly enough love and how good he is. And I think it's because when you've gone through a bunch of teams, right? Like the perception is once you've been traded a few times that all of a sudden that means that, you know, maybe you're no good. I don't know. For me, D'Angelo Russell definitely deserves some more credit in this. And you're right. You're talking about a young player that can distribute. And I think the type of young player that can make the players around him better. So I wouldn't put him above Giannis personally, but I understand your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What young player would you build your NBA franchise around? We'll keep taking your take in just a minute, but we're going to get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes in the form of our primetime players. We told you number two was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, it's time to find out who number one is on the Primetime Player List.
The number one ranked player of our First Take Primetime Players NBA ranking is LeBron James.
Here comes LBJ!
King James has scored the third most points in NBA history and is also the only player to rank in the top 10 in both career points and assists.
Looking for his first assist.
The three-time NBA champion has been selected to 16 straight NBA All-Star games, just behind Lakers legend Kobe Bryant's record of 18 consecutive selections.
Crowd on their feet, that's what they came to see.
Player number one, Lakers forward, LeBron James.
Well, if they're going to rank the primetime players, you know that First Take is going to have something to say about it. So, according to the primetime player rankings, LeBron James number one in the world. So, Kendrick Perkins joined Max to debate it. And the question is simple. Is LeBron the best player in the world?
No, he's not. Let me start by saying, after no, he's not, the fact that we're asking this in his 17th season is completely unprecedented. Not even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in the conversation as best player in the world 17 seasons in. It's like almost beyond comprehension. That said, he's in the conversation for sure. But I can't give him the number one spot. First, let's take the fact that the Lakers are doing these unbelievable things. They have the best record in the conference and all this. LeBron's playing with Anthony Davis, another MVP candidate, another top five player. You want to say he's top seven? I don't just mean a name brand. I mean they're actually playing that way. They almost always have the best or the second best record in the conference. So while LeBron has very gaudy assist totals as the only real point guard on the team and the primary ball handler almost at all times, of course he's going to have high assist totals. The fact that he's able to do it speaks to his greatness, but the fact that he gets all the credit for orchestrating the Lakers' success is a little bit overblown because, again, two top seven players in the world almost always have awesome records as the Lakers do now. Now to the argument as to why he's not actually the best, because he's up there. Look, now, Perk, before, I know later on you're going to talk about points totals, assist totals, rebound totals. The reason I bring up PER, player efficiency rating, is because it takes all of that into account. It's not perfect, like QBR, it's not perfect, but it takes points, assists, rebound, all that stuff into account, shooting percentage, all that stuff. So you don't have to go through every stat. You could just use PER as shorthand. LeBron, in his prime, 5, 6, 7 years ago, went through a 5-year stretch where he averaged 30, and PER 30, it's like historically great. He doesn't do that anymore. Hasn't done that for a while. He's down in the mid to high 20s, 26, 27. He fell off. Now, that's what Kawhi has raised up to, 26, something like that, in the regular season. Now we get to the playoffs. What LeBron's been doing in the playoffs in recent years is going from 26, 27 to 31, 32 in the playoffs. So I get it. He's being smart. He's taking his foot off the gas in the regular season to slam it on in the playoffs. The thing is, Kawhi does the same thing. Kawhi's PER in the last couple playoffs, over 30, close to 30. And he's doing it as the reigning and defending finals MVP. By the way, PER is mainly an offensive stat. So offensively, when it matters most, he's basically LeBron James. What about defensively? LeBron defensively in Miami was an all-time great player, no question. He hasn't been that for a while. Yes, he saves it for high-leverage moments where he's still excellent in the playoffs, but he ain't Kawhi-level defense. So if when it matters most, they're about the same offensively, but one guy is better defensively. If that guy who's the same offensively but better defensively in terms of overall value when it matters most is also the reigning and defending champ, then LeBron's going to have to prove it to get the title back. And I believe when the Clippers face the Lakers in the playoffs, and I think it's going to happen, the Clippers are going to win, and it's going to be because Kawhi outplayed LeBron.
When you talk about being the best player of the world, when you have that title, Max, of being the best player of the world, this is not a MVP or a finals MVP. The MVP and finals MVP, that's seasonal. The best player in the world, that's longevity. That's sustaining excellence and greatness for a long period of time. And that's what LeBron James has done for 17 straight years. It's equivalent to being in the Army. You don't just come in. You come in as a privatee, but you don't just jump up to a sergeant major. It's steps that you have to take to get to that. And LeBron James is a sergeant major. And he's done it because he sustained a level of greatness and a level of excellence for 17 straight years. This title is not won overnight, Max. This title is not done one with a 2-year span of greatness or 1-year run to the championship, winning one finals MVP, like you said with Kawhi, with a one season with the Raptors. No, this is done over a long period of time. And there's no other player in the league right now that has done this over a 17-year span like LeBron James. So that's why, in my eyes, LeBron James is the best player in the world. And to me, it's not even a debate. It's not even close, Max. And that is why.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. They're fired up about LeBron and the best player in the world. That's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. We're going to keep letting you guys chime in on what young player under 25 you would build your NBA franchise around. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But before we do that, let's talk to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks, joins us now on the show. Bobby, thanks for the time, man. I hope you guys are all safe and everybody's well in your world. Really appreciate you joining us. So when you talk about, we'll get to the return of the NBA, but when you look at LeBron James, in your mind, is he the best player in the league today?
No. It's funny. It seems like we all need a refresher, right? We've been away from it for like 3 months, or I guess, you know, when it stopped in mid-March. For me, I'm still, you know, let me ask, I guess we could phrase it. I would take Giannis in a regular season and LeBron in the playoffs. How's that sound? Can I do it that way? Can I split it up into two different things? Because I don't know what I get with Giannis yet in the playoffs yet, but I know regular season Giannis, I think, is better than regular season LeBron.
That's a look. I like the interesting take. You know, we could like mash them together and create our own Voltron of the NBA. So, with that being said, then when you look forward to the Giannis conversation, we've been having that today. I mean, when you talk players under 25, I think it's really been staggering. And you did this for ESPN.com a couple of months ago, ranking players under the age of 25. Giannis is 25. I'll throw him into that conversation.
Sure.
When you look at that power, the power of that talent, what is it about the NBA that's been able to stack so well with young talent?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, certainly guys coming in earlier. Most of these players have come in, you know, after their freshman year of, you know, of college. So there's certainly a bigger pool. But yeah, no, you're right. We did the list, I think, back in either late February, or early March. And I mean, you're looking at Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson, and you know, certainly Jason Tatum. I mean, it is a we had a hard time picking, you know. Picking 25, I mean, an easy time picking a 25, but a hard time kind of figuring out who goes on that list there. But the league is in, as I've said, the league is in great shape because it's, you know, of how teams have drafted, how teams have really put an emphasis in, as I say, player development. But yeah, I mean, that list of players is strong. I mean, we're not even talking about, you know, guys like, you know, Donovan Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox and Jaylen Brown. I mean, we can go on and on with that.
So in that sense, we're talking to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. I'm putting you in charge. I just bought an NBA team. Congratulations to me. And I'm putting you in charge of it. And I'm telling you, you go out to fantasy. It's an expansion draft. So you can pick any player 25 or under that you're going to build the franchise around. Who would you take as your top pick?
Can I pick Giannis? Or is he not qualified?
You can pick Giannis. Yeah, no,
yeah, I would pick him. I would pick. I mean, if you're allowing me to pick Giannis, I would certainly pick him just because the ability to play probably five positions. I think what we've seen him as far as his game being able to expand. I think he probably will win Defensive Player of the Year or be right up there. So the ultimate two-way player, you know, in this league right now, you know, still in the prime of his career. I think probably the second guy I would probably pick is, you know, Doncic, just because of his versatility, his ability to play multiple positions, can play off the ball if needed. If he has that kind of it factor where he can kind of, I feel like he can carry a team, even if, you know, maybe the surrounding cast is maybe a little bit limited.
We're talking to ESPN NBA insider Bobby Marks. So let's get to this playoff conversation, Bobby. There's a lot of talk going on about what the playoffs could look like, what they should look like. How would you do this? How would you manage a return?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty adamant about 16 teams. I talked with Brian Windhorst over the weekend about it, and, you know, I think we can go either 16 teams and keep it east and west and go, the 8 teams there. We can take the 16 teams and we reseed it and, you know, basically go with, you know, certainly with Milwaukee at 1 and then the Lakers at, you know, at 2 and then, you know, and we kind of fill it in from there. And maybe we play 3 or 4 exhibition games for each team during, I guess, after this type of training camp is over to kind of get these teams, maybe east versus west. And we kind of go from there. I think because we're experimenting with so many things, and this is all new to everyone, especially this Disney concept of playing in Orlando in some type of bubble, I don't know if we're in a position now to start adding teams to what we have as a 16. If we're going to go to 20 or going to go to 24, I think less is better. Let's try to get through the next couple months unscathed there. I know there's, a financial element as far as playing more games. That either means in the pool play, if we expand it to 20 or 24 teams, or if we bring all 30 teams down there and we have, 5 or 7, regular season games. But I'm looking at it as from a timing element because, I don't think the league wants to be in a position where we're playing into the end of September, early October, where it could potentially impact 2020-21. So for me, it's keeping it at 16. I know that's not going to make New Orleans and Sacramento and San Antonio and that group of teams happy, but I don't know if anybody's going to be – there's someone going to be upset for whatever proposal comes out either Friday or over the weekend here.
If you were running a team, what would be your biggest concern about having everybody in Orlando at once?
Well, my biggest concern is I've labeled it as kind of like Survivor Island, right? I mean, like if you're the Lakers or you're Milwaukee, you have to be prepared to be there for 2.5, maybe even 3 months. So as far as the living condition, are these guys just going to be in a hotel? Certainly the family element, comes into play. Are you going to be allowed to go outside of that area there? I think from a team standpoint, I'm concerned about injuries just based on these players have not done much for the last 3 months. So what are we going to look like as a team, even after we get through, a 3 or 4 week training camp?
With that being said, Bobby, if you're a team that's looking around saying, man, it's probably not our year to win a championship, but we're going to get into this playoff. I just don't think we match up well with the other teams. Do you consider sitting your stars at that point?
Not if it's sixteen teams or even a 20 teams. I don't. I think because we don't know what Milwaukee will look like or the Lakers will look like or even the Clippers will look like when we get to Orlando in a month or we start playing in 2 months. I think it's the home court element comes out of play here. I think if my guys are healthy, I'm going to play them because I know that, we're not probably playing again until, training camp that starts up in December here. So there is some, leeway there. So no, I'm playing my guys. I think, if you're with Golden State and Detroit or some of these other teams that are, if they have to go and they're going to bring all 30, which I don't think will happen, then I'm probably looking at what's the best interest of my team as far as from, Curry, Draymond, guys like that.
Well, and I think that's going to be one of the most interesting things to figure out is what happens. Like, everybody wants to talk also about KD. Like, if Kevin Durant were capable of playing and there's a playoff he can play in, should he play?
If he's capable of playing, and we're looking at the end of July, that is a great question.
Thank you.
Is a great question. I think the hard part is, though, is that although he's been, it's been over a year, I mean, these 3 months of, yes, he's been able to rehabbing, but it's not like he's been playing, 5-on-5. There has been, there's been a 2 to 3 month hiatus here where, maybe his rehab is not kind of where it might be. So I think I would be extra cautious with him, extra cautious with John Wall, extra cautious with Klay Thompson, guys like that, especially if I'm Brooklyn and I'm a 15 seed or I'm a 7 seed in the Eastern Conference.
So, Bobby, after all of this comes out, let's presume that we get a 16-team playoff. We're going to just play make pretend here. And it's going to be in Orlando. And now all of a sudden, I'm going to be having you back on, and I'm going to ask you who you think the team to beat is. So let's do that now. If we get a 16-team playoff and they're all going to Orlando, who you got?
For me, I'm going to be the best team that, I know Lakers finished on a hot streak, but I think it's Milwaukee. I do. I mean, I think young legs, Giannis, Middleton, I think they're balanced. I think what will happen here is that because there's no home court advantage, the best teams will advance through each round here. You know, there's not going to be a situation where Memphis can steal a game at home against the Lakers here, you know, situations like that. So I do think it's Milwaukee, but as everyone else, I'm going to be interested as far as what type of shape these teams are going to be when we get into mid-June.
You know, you guys can follow him on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. Get your NBA coverage from people that are actually getting out here, giving you the smartest stuff you can. That's Bobby. So, Bobby, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Some really interesting stuff there as he credits legs, but talks a lot about conditioning. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, we're going to see some strange basketball. Could be bad basketball when it comes back in my mind, because it's just going to take some time for these guys to get into whatever basketball shape is. But having no home court advantage is going to be one alarming portion of this if they end up putting everybody in one location and there is nothing to be gained by going anywhere. So when travel is no longer a factor in this conversation, when home court's no longer a factor in this conversation, is that actually the perfect sort of cauldron for an opportunity to be made for Milwaukee to win a championship? And what would that mean for that team? Because it's really the cementing thing that can help them keep Giannis. So when you talk about all of the ramifications coming from this playoff, I think that's part of what's so excited about it. We're going to keep taking your take on what young player you would build your NBA franchise around. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, what's the most exciting and interesting way for the NBA to return? First Take broke it down earlier. You'll hear that next. But first, the Home Depot, changing the way doing gets done. With a pocket full of digital tools on the Home Depot app, like image search, snap a picture with our app, find what you need. And the product locator is great if you're like me and you're a moron. I walk into the stores, I can't find anything. Now we're all wearing masks when we're walking the store, so it's hard to find anybody to help you. Don't have to worry about that with Home Depot, because the product locator tells you how many items are in stock. Also tells you right where they are, down to the aisle and shelf, with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. You got online tools, and this is important, if you're not comfortable going out, free delivery on over 1 million items. Welcome today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. How should the NBA get it done when it comes to coming back? You'll hear what First Take thought next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed any of the show today, go check out the second hour on demand and the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with a credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and most importantly, helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. We want to get you guys a little bit of breaking news. We'll get back to your take. Obviously, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What young player, 25 or under, in the NBA would you build your franchise around? Before we get more of your take, though, we have some breaking news from the Associated Press. Texas is going to allow outdoor pro sports events to have spectators, but they're going to limit their numbers strictly. So according to their governor, he's revised the decision to let pro sports leagues host events without fans starting in June as part of the state moves to reopen amid the coronavirus pandemic. The new order allows outdoor stadiums to host fans up to 25% of their normal capacity. So leagues will have to apply to state health officials to be allowed to have fans. Indoor events will still be held without spectators. This is significant. First of all, I know it only addresses pro sports, but let's acknowledge the fact that there's a massive college football following in Texas. And if you don't open the door for the pros, you're not going to be able to open the door for the college kids as well. So to me, this is yet another indication that major schools are trying to figure out ways to be able to play football in front of fans, because college football, unlike the NFL, needs that attendance money. It's a significant portion of how they make their cash. So for Texas to start to open says about what Texas is going to be doing on the college football landscape to me. The other portion of this that is significant is trying to figure out some level of competitive balance. See, 25% of that stadium can be full, which now means if you're Jerry Jones, you're looking around and saying, okay, I know I can at least fill my stadium 25% of the way and bring in some cash, get some noise, get some fans, and do something cool. What happens, though, if suddenly another team in the NFL doesn't have that opportunity? Are the NFL owners going to be able to cooperate to such an incredible level that they're willing to simply not put any fans in any stadium if every fan can't have them, if every stadium can't have them? That's going to be a really difficult question to answer, especially when you're already talking about arguably the most powerful owner in the NFL. Jerry Jones, whether you love him or hate him, manages to change the narrative around different teams. He's a huge part of the relocation process. He's a huge part of owners' meetings. He's a huge part of what gets done, how it gets done, and why it gets done for the NFL. Jerry Jones now just found out that he can have 25% of his stadium full for football games. That is going to be the sort of thing he salivates at because it's opportunity and he's a businessman. So what do you do now if all of a sudden teams in, for example, California don't have that same ability? Will the owners be willing to sacrifice as a group if it doesn't benefit every single owner? Will they be willing to come to one standard? That is one of the most difficult things that I think Roger Goodell and the NFL is going to have to make sure that they're aware of and working on from day one as the NFL figures out what they're going to look like this fall. That's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Got to get you updated on that. Plus, we're taking your thoughts on what young player you'd build your NBA franchise around. 888-729-3776. Plus, some of you guys don't like my LeBron take from earlier, so I basically said that the LeBron versus Michael Jordan argument is useless. Scott in L.A. wants to chime in on LeBron. Scott, what do you got? What's your take?
Hey, man. Thank you for letting me in, and I'm going to apologize in advance because you're the host, and I have all respect for you, but your take earlier is pretty lame and intellectually absent, and I've got to call you out on it, so I apologize. All you have to do is look at the fact that in LeBron's own interview after The Last Dance, he said, I would be the perfect running mate for Michael. Can you imagine Larry Bird or Magic Johnson saying that? That they would want to destroy Michael Jordan. They don't want to play along him. That's the first default. He wants to be a Robin. He's a total beta. In the same interview, he went on to say, I would be perfect for getting Michael the ball so he can take the last shot. So again, he's deferring to Michael. And in that, in his own admission, admitting that he's not at the level of Michael Jordan. So those are his own words. Furthermore, the disintegration of the NBA, I can attribute directly to LeBron James and the creation of a super team. Again, can you imagine Bird, Magic, Isaiah, or Jordan, like, walking out of their own city to create a super team because they couldn't win or they couldn't recruit people to their cities? Furthermore, LeBron quit. However you want to revise it and spin it, that game one against the Warriors a couple of years ago, he quit on his team in overtime because his teammate made a bad mistake. And then after the series is over, he comes out with a cast on his hand. Oh, please. And as far
all right,
as
Scott,
I'm concerned,
so let me address some of these. Don't go anywhere. Let me address some of these thoughts that you have. Number one, the NBA culture is completely different today than it was back then. We all agree on that. That's part of your argument of what's now wrong with the NBA. So what you have is a current NBA player in the current culture saying all of the right things deferentially in an interview, and you're going to use that as a reason that he doesn't have competitive edge because he said nice things in an interview. Like, A, that means nothing to me when it comes to the conversation on Michael Jordan versus LeBron. The fact that he said the right things in a media-coached environment, which is where athletes are, should be used as some level of praise to him, not as some level of discredit. And then you say that he's responsible for the destroying the NBA because of super teams. Couple of things here. Number one, Larry Bird and Magic didn't play on incredible teams. I mean, Hall of Famers all over them. Michael Jordan, Scottie, Horace, Rodman, those weren't super teams. KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, they were all pre-decision. And on top of all of that, valuations of teams are higher today than they've ever been. Players make more money than they've ever made, and the league is making more cash than ever because more eyeballs are on the NBA than have ever been before. All of that speaks to the growth of the NBA. So LeBron, whether you love or hate him or not, is actually partially responsible for the NBA growing because modern NBA fans love super teams.
Can I answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, in an interview, when asked if their Olympic team can beat the 92 Dream Team, what did LeBron say? Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. What did Kobe Bryant say? Of course we would beat them because that's what a real alpha and a real Mamba does. Whether it's deferential his words speak to how he really is and how he plays.
I'll let you respond in a second, but I'm going to respond to that and tell you that I don't believe that's true. And I will tell you all day long that I got to where I was in my music career because I believe in my skills and I believe in my ability, and I'd put myself up against anybody in a competition any day when it came to the instrument that I played, every single day. But if you ever asked me on record if I think I'm the best fiddle player in the world, you bet your butt I never would have said yes to that, because that is not a good look for anybody that is doing these things. And to me, you're right. I'm a Kobe fan. I grew up a Kobe fan, and I appreciate Mamba mentality. But let's not turn Kobe into LeBron in the way that they handle their business. LeBron is out here doing all of these other things that matter to him. So at some point, he's saying the right things, because not because of his alpha male status, but because at some point he understands the benefit in answering questions the right way. That's smart. That's not some reason he's not an alpha male to me.
Please?
Go ahead.
One question for you. You mentioned the marketability and the money. Who's that more attributable to in the history of the NBA?
You mean Michael versus LeBron?
Yeah. Who's that?
No, I mean, Michael Jordan's more responsible for money all day long. You just said that. You just said LeBron was destroying the NBA. I don't see any destruction when money's up. Like, if money's up, the league's doing pretty darn well.
Well, people want the conversation to be null and void when it's compared to Michael, because they want to prop up LeBron, which is understandable for every generation. But I just gave you several reasons as to why he's not comparable to Michael Jordan. And it has nothing to do with stats or even how they played the game or whether one of them played defense or not or how many titles they won or how many titles they lost. I gave you ancillary reasons as to why the conversation is not even a discussion anymore amongst experts or fans, but yet it gets resurrected all the time. For whatever
reason.
But
here's the thing. You're telling me that people are propping up LeBron. The majority of our callers do the opposite. You're presenting it like most people are coming at LeBron as being the best player in the world. The majority of our callers and our feedback would say the opposite. We get more love for Jordan on this than we ever get for LeBron. And frankly, I haven't even answered the question of who I think is better, because I think it's a useless question. That's my point. My point is that you can poke holes in the argument. And thanks for your take on it, Scott. I appreciate the discussion. I'll always take it. You can poke holes in the argument from either side, because the argument is useless. Because if you believe that Jordan was the better player, nothing's going to be said that ever changes your mind, and you'll take the stats you think support that. If you believe LeBron's a better player, then you're going to do the same there. But they played in two completely different eras, which means you can't hold them to the same standards. Think about the way football was played in the 90s versus the way football is played today. It's a much different world. Think about the NBA and the NBA culture, because it's not just the game. It's the culture around the game that has changed. It's the friendships in the game that are now part of how the new NBA works. Now, you may personally not like that, but many people do, because the ratings show it. The ratings and the money show that people still flock to the NBA, even when you try and say that there's a problem. And frankly, even if you hate super teams, the ratings go through the roof for super teams, because people love to either love or hate a team, and super teams create super villains. It's all it's easy to see here. So for anybody that's making the argument that the league is dying, I won't support that argument, or that LeBron has been detrimental to the league, I won't go for that argument, because the league is better than ever. Look at the money. I mean, it all comes back at some point to cash. My God, I wish I had bought an NBA team during Michael Jordan's era so that I could own it through LeBron's era, because that would make me a billionaire. First Take, your take on ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys are fired up on what young player you want to build your NBA franchise around. I went off the rails and didn't let you get in, so we're going to let you have that now. We're going to let you take over the rest of the show. Get your take. What player, 25 or under, are you building your franchise around? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's next on First Take, your take, ESPN Radio. So many cities across the country. More First Take, your take coming right now. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A little bit of news just to make sure you get out there. The NFL owners have had their votes on some of the rules that were submitted. Of note, the onside kick rule looks like it did not pass, unfortunately, so onside kicks will remain the same, but they did make a couple of approvals to some rules. One would make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul. And then they also expanded defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt return who a punt returner who's in possession of the ball but hasn't had time to avoid or ward off the contact. So a couple of notes there. And also, they approved the rule that prevents teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running. So everybody that watched and loved Bill Belichick losing his mind last year with the Patriots as that was happening to them against the Titans won't get that opportunity to see that again. A little bit of breaking news there. Wanted to get you caught up on. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We've been taking your take. What young player would you build your NBA franchise around? I want to get some of your take. And quickly, I do want to say we've had some spirited debates today, a couple of them. I've had some great tweets about it, too, with the LeBron MJ thing. I love that part of the show. And I love the interaction that we all get to have together. Keep it coming all the time. When you disagree with me, bring it. Let's talk about it. It's one of my favorite things that we get to do on this show. And that's the real power of First Take, Your Take, is that you get the opportunity to have your take and we can have some fun along the way. Trip in South Carolina. What's your take? What young player are you building your NBA franchise around?
Hey, Jason, I would definitely have to take Trae Young.
Tell me why.
He's a pure shooter. He's a solid leader on the team. And I just think that he could definitely, the way the NBA is now, that's the kind of guy you need. I know he's not a big and you need that too, but I think he could lead a team to be the best.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And, you know, Connor that works on our show is a big Hawks fan, and he was sort of waving that flag earlier. And, you know, there's some Steph-like elements to Trae Young. I was really wrong about him coming out of college. So that's a really good pick on that. Chewy in Long Beach. Chewy, man, good morning in California. What do you got for us today? What's your take?
Hey, good morning from the West Coast. First off, that dude Scott was a LeBron hater all the way, man. It was kind of funny to hear him go on. If you would have let him kept on going, he would have blamed LeBron for the dinosaurs dying off. I'm an avid Lakers fan. I've been a fan since the late 70s, early 80s. I'm an avid NBA fan. I love the 80s and 90s, the Bad Boys and the Knicks back then when basketball was basketball. But this NBA, if I'm going to build around a young player all the way, I'm going to say Luka Doncic. That guy just turned 21 years old, and he is doing things that right now people are just starting to take notice and gasp of. There was a discussion, a day or two ago when he was ranked by ESPN in the top 10 and where he was, and I tell you what, that guy is the great white hope. He is the superstar in the making. He is the kid that I would build around.
Chewy, look, when we get out of pandemic and Lakers are back in action in L.A. one of these years, drinks are on me. And, yes, I agree with you. You know, I hosted SportsCenter on Snapchat a lot a couple of years ago and, you know, haven't had the chance to do it as much of late. But when Luka Doncic was getting ready for the draft, we were doing nightly rips of Luka Doncic highlights from him playing over in Europe just to show people, hey, you've got to get a look at what this kid's doing. He's going to be, we thought, the top pick in the draft. And I still think he should have been the top pick in that draft. So all in on the Luka love. Greg in Texas, what do you got? Who are you building your franchise around?
Jason Tatum.
Ooh, okay. Tell me why.
Well, third year in the league. He should be a senior coming out, but, you know, they don't do that no more. He just had all the tangibles. You know, he's a good ball handler, good shooter, finished at the rim strong, pass the ball well, defends well, and he just got a lot to learn. He's still learning the game. He's just a baby in the NBA. Learning.
You know, I love your take on that, too, because you're right. He's getting better, consistently getting better, but he's already so good. And to speak to the youth, you mentioned, like, a generation ago, a lot of these guys we're talking about would have likely still been in college, and they're out here now, and they're contributing at such a high level. We said 25 and under. You could easily make a list of 22 and under right now in the NBA that's just absolutely dominating the sport. I walk away from this exercise today feeling like the NBA and NBA fans should feel better about their sport today than they have in ages, because not only is it great right now, but it's set to be great for a very, very long time. Coming up next, Kyler, Goff, Jimmy G, which guy would you want as your franchise quarterback? Will Cain will get into it next. Thanks for listening to First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.